Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Now Craig, a lot of eyes this week are on that jobs data that is coming out on Friday. We already got a little preview of some job numbers this week, just yesterday on Wednesday. The numbers are expected to be very strong for Friday. Now, the fact of the matter is, because expectations are so high, that means that you got to think markets are kind of pricing that in. And again, everyone's expecting high numbers, so the surprise could really come to the downside, I think. But overall, are you expecting any market moves or anything significant when it comes to impact on the metals sector when we get some of this jobs data?
Well, my friend, I think most of us that follow this stuff every month are kind of comfortable with the idea that the metals are going to get waxed, at least right when the number comes out. It almost seems like there are algos that are planned or pre-programmed to sell, buy the dollar and sell gold and silver, COMEX gold and silver, right at 8:30 Eastern on a jobs report day. So that's always fun to watch. You know, in this particular case, it will be interesting. And even Chairman Powell said last week, isn't it fun to refer to him as Chairman Powell? It makes it feel like he's the head of the Politburo or something. But since we are kind of a centrally planned economy at these days, maybe that's a good title for him. But anyway, Chairman Powell said last week that it's maybe not so much the absolute number and the unemployment rate, because, well, you know, one way that they calculate that is if you haven't found a job after 12 months, you kind of fall out of the calculation because you're just assumed to have found a job. So maybe it's not so much a number that he's watching this month as much as it is the average hourly earnings and the average hours worked, and to see how that changes. Because, yeah, you mentioned that ADP report that came out on Wednesday was not at the level that some people thought it was going to be, and that there's still 8, maybe 9 million Americans that are out of work versus where we were pre-COVID. You know, maybe lose 20 million jobs, you gain back maybe 11. So it'll be interesting. The number will be interesting, but let's see what that average hourly earnings number is, because there's certainly a lot of signs that this inflation that we're seeing isn't going to be the transitory, temporary phenomenon that the Fed is making you think it is. And higher earnings, if we do see that on Friday, would be another piece of that puzzle.
Craig, when do you think it gets to the point that with inflation data rising, people do finally start talking about inflation not being transitory? Because right now, that is what you're hearing. Everybody is saying it's transitory, except for everyone in the precious metals space. So where's that breaking point? When is enough inflation finally enough to say, maybe this is longer lasting?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of stuff this week. The PMI numbers that came out, both manufacturing and service sector PMI seem to hint at more of a lengthy period of inflation. That could be that, you know, we're kind of headed toward a stagflation, not necessarily totally stagnant economy, but a slowing economy with soaring inflation. I don't know how many months it's going to take in a row. If we get into this autumn, you know, get September, October, and we're still talking 3% CPI, I think Gunn Evans said today that 3% plus would be okay with the Fed. Okay, well, you would think by that point it would be eye-opening that maybe, you know, this certainly more than 1% or 2% is here to stay. And at the end of the day, you know, then you get into the whole discussion about, well, geez, that's just at the CPI level, and then they want to exclude food and energy. And then everybody knows, though, that, you know, you can't buy the same basket of goods for only 2% more this year than what it was last year. And so you get into the minutiae of how do you really measure it in the first place, right? But what the Fed is trying to do, and you and I have talked about this now for months, Corey, is they're trying to jawbone their way into yield curve control, because they know, you know, I know, basically anybody paying attention knows that they cannot afford higher interest rates. Just simply servicing all of the existing debts, public and private, become almost impossible, right? If you double the prevailing interest rates from 2% to 4%, or God forbid, 6. Then you got to refinance all the existing debt as it comes due, you know, and then you got all this new programs that Biden and the politicians want to put out there, you know, and you got to borrow money for that, you know, whether it's being borrowed or printed by the Fed or not. So they have a real incentive to keep interest rates down, notwithstanding the impact in the past of yield curve control and establishing negative real rates after World War II to get debt to GDP back under control. The Fed has done that before. So yield curve control is coming, whether it's, you know, overt, right in your face, or covert. The Fed is always, always, always reactive and not proactive. And they are going to be reluctant. Let's put it this way. The last thing they're going to do is come out on a, you know, a Wednesday and say, we hereby decree that we shall not allow the 10-year treasury to trade above 2%. That's the last thing that they want to do. Steps taken before that, in the hope of never getting that far, begin with job owning, you know, to give the market the impression that interest rates aren't going to go any higher without the Fed ever having to do anything. And I think this use of this term transitory, trying to reassure institutions and hedge funds and even other governments that U.S. inflation is under control so that they continue to buy treasuries at 1.6% on the 10-year. That's the first step of that job owning of yield curve control. That's what that transitory thing is all about.
Craig, what are your thoughts about the comments that Yellen made this week that caused some market reaction when she said, and she did walk these comments back, that she thinks that the Fed will probably be needing to hike rates? Now, it didn't come out all that smoothly, and she's walked it back by saying she thinks the market is going to, or she was referring more to market rates rather than what the Fed is going to do. But on the back of those comments, we did see markets and precious metals get hit on Tuesday. Wednesday, a bit of a boring day as everything stabilized. Any significance to what she said, and even more importantly, how the markets reacted?
Yeah, isn't that funny? Gosh, Corey, we could probably talk about that for hours, and the fact that the rest of the commodity sector continued to do just fine. It was really only gold and silver which were smashed backward. And even after she walked those comments back and kind of said, oh, no, that's not what I was saying. Oh, no, like, she, you know, somebody said, hey, you know, stay in your lane, Janet. That's not for you to comment on. Even after she did that Tuesday afternoon, and even after Evans came out, Wednesday morning and said, oh, no, there are no plans to hike rates, and don't worry, we're fine with even 3% inflation, all that kind of stuff. Even after all of that, the precious metals were still considerably lower than where they were when those comments of Yellen hit the tape. What do I make of it? I don't know what to make of it. You know, I mean, it's almost like she's back in the spotlight after not being the head of the Fed for, you know, whatever it is, 2 or 3 years. Now all of a sudden she's back in the spotlight and she just likes to talk, you know, and remembers what it was like to be the head of the Fed. And you can say things like that and actually had some power over it. As the head of the Treasury now, she didn't have any power over that kind of stuff. That's not her job. And so if anything, it was just a slip up. We're a long ways. Powell even said that last week, Corey. I mean, they're not even thinking about raising rates, the Fed funds rate, or cutting back the QE program. So they're a long, long ways away, regardless of what she might have said yesterday.
Now, what about what some of the gold bug community is saying is that raising rates would actually be good for gold. That would make investors realize that maybe inflation is getting out of hand, or really anything to shift up the current status that gold is boring, and who knows, higher rates could actually drive money into the sector?
Yeah, you never know. It might cause some trouble in the equity sector, you know, who knows. And there has been history in the past where rising rates and gold go hand in hand. You think back to gold growling go hand in hand. Think back to like 2003 to 2007. The Fed was raising the Fed funds rate 25 basis points almost every quarter, and gold rallied from 250 to 1,000. So it's nominal rates straight up aren't really necessarily an indicator one way or the other. The other day, it gets to real rates, where you take that nominal rate and you subtract the rate of inflation. That's the big driver. That's, you know, you think back to like the late 70s, you know, when interest rates were 10%, but inflation was 15. So here's gold soaring, with interest rate nominal rates at 10%. Well, why? Because real rates were negative 5. And so if the 10-year note were to go to 3%, but that's only because inflation is annualized at 5, gold's probably going to do just fine in that environment. Because I'll remind everybody, when we were at a negative rate of 1 or 1.1% last summer, gold was $2,100. So could that be, you know, could a rising interest rate indicative of higher inflation, could that be positive for gold? Yeah, because you put those two together, you get a negative real rate, and that's a long-term real tight correlation with gold prices.
Okay. Well, Craig, a couple things for investors to keep an eye on here. Look, fact of the matter is gold just needs a bit more of an uptrend and to break some of these resistance levels that unfortunately are proving to be pretty strong. And there's a number of resistance levels that need to be broken after that about 7 to 8 month correction. But April was a good month. We're early on in May and it's already choppy. So let's see where the gold price goes, because this $50 trading range that it's in right now is not going to last for a very long time. Craig, thank you as always for your time. I'll post a link to your website and we'll chat again next week. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, my friend. You do the same.